Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble in association with Capital One, the credit card that supports the supporters. It's our Capital One Round 4 review show.
Yeah, we are back.
We're back after only a few days.
The third time in a week.
Yeah. How about that, everybody?
We're like some kind of crazy rash that keeps breaking out.
I was going to say it's a bit like incorrect predictions.
Not all of them.
I was going to say it's a bit like an international tournament, but that also works.
Yeah. Round 4 of the Capital One Cup is nearly all over. I don't say all because Sunderland and Southampton is next week.
The two S's, the SS.
Yeah, exactly. less of that. But Arsenal, Jim, we started with them in the preview show. We're going to start with them in the review show, which is now. Mm. They were at home to Chelsea. They lost 2-0. Luke and I seem to think that Arsenal would probably shade that one. We were wrong.
Yeah.
The first time we're going to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen.
I only said that because Marcus forced me into it. Mm. I wanted to go for a 2-0 Chelsea win.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was going to go for a fluffed header and goal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead, you got a fluffed kind of pass back thing and goal. Yeah, it was a real big mistake from Cole Jenkinson to allow Azpilicueta to score
the first.
He couldn't believe his luck, could he?
No, he loved it.
There was still a bit to do from Azpilicueta.
Yeah, no, he did do well.
He ended up on the floor looking at the goal going, oh, is it in? Yes, I can celebrate.
It's in. Brilliant.
I've got a reason to stand
up. I can take the rest of the game off.
It was. I just like how Chelsea have kind of prospered from that kind of weird back pass twice in a week, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. That's the new special move. I don't know, maybe Mourinho's got some sort of mind
pressurizing
he's using on teams. I don't know. But it was, you know, it was quite an uneventful game in a lot of senses. Mata's goal was absolutely magnificent.
It was quite
brilliant. I think he sent a real message to Mourinho there. He was asked after the game, like, basically, you know, are you just trying to get your head down and do the best you can to get in the team? And he's like, well, yeah, of course I am.
No.
I'm going on holiday next week.
I'm saving myself till January.
Sort of what we do. Yeah. I mean, it's part of it.
It literally is my job.
Not in the contract, but, you know, it's the spirit of playing in the Capital One Cup.
I wonder if they have that in their contracts. You must
do your best.
Try. Yeah. Behave and perform in the spirit of winning.
To the god of, to your god and your queen. Like the cups.
Neil Young famously was sued by his record label for producing a record which they said wasn't indicative of what they thought he would produce when they signed him.
I can't
remember if they won or not, but he basically produced this weird rock and roll rockabilly 50s record because he was just annoyed with the label. So I wonder if they could do a player for breach of contract for just doing what, you know, doing a ridiculous back pass or something. That's not on. It's not in the spirit of it. You're
with the word slave written in your head like Prince.
Yeah. It was a shame for Arsenal, obviously in good form, but it came across as shades from previous seasons where Chelsea just turn up and Arsenal, they've got a lot of momentum behind them, despite losing, of course, to Dortmund the other week. But a lot of momentum behind them. They're playing good football. They've got some good players that have come through and a couple of good signings, of course. And Chelsea just turn up and
Mourinho's just got Wenger's number, hasn't he?
He has.
I think it's nine competitive fixtures
where he's not
managed to beat him.
Is there any sort of concern amongst the Arsenal supporting fraternity that suggests that Arsenal is a bit of a blind spot or a bit of a sticking point when it comes to playing really good teams?
Well, this is the concern at the moment. I mean, over the past kind of eight seasons, there's been various examples of Arsenal seeming to go quite well, then having a sticky patch of difficult fixtures and kind of falling apart within that. Now, obviously, the Dortmund game was It was a defeat, but it was a kind of spirited defeat. Yeah. It was just a little bit of naivety of Arsenal trying to win the game when they could have settled for a point. And obviously, Chelsea, a very difficult fixture as well. But yeah, there very much is a worry about that. So, you know, Liverpool next, hopefully they can put that right.
But Arsenal, they've failed to reach the last eight for the first time in 11 seasons.
Yeah, it's a shame. The Capital One Cup is a really sort of exciting experience as a Arsenal supporter, because a lot of our sort of really big players have made their debuts in that competition. You get a little glimpse of the future. I mean, we were hoping this year that Geddy and Zelalem would be someone we'd see quite a lot of, but he got an unfortunately timed injury, so we may not see any sort of competitive football from him for a while. And it is a shame to go out. And also, you know, Arsenal need to win something, so to be in every competition is crucial. They need to get that monkey off their back.
Yeah.
We've also said, we said this last season, I mean, last season this competition was amazing, and it always chucks up really interesting results, a lot of high scoring games, as we're going to come on to in a minute. So for that point of view, for the supporters of Arsenal, a team like Arsenal, they want to be a part of it, because it's a great thing.
Pete, Chelsea, are they the favourites?
No, I wouldn't go as far as that. I think Manchester City, when they field a certain side, I think they could probably go all the way, I think. And they've got the pace to do so, I think.
Could you not also argue that at Chelsea, though?
Yes.
You know, they've got a hugely deep squad, and I think they're a little bit more experienced of this sort of thing.
They made a lot of changes for this game, and they still
joint favourite then, fine. I will concede that.
What, Leicester City?
Yes. Well, it was a good win for Chelsea. Poor old Arsenal are out. One of the other predictions that we got wrong was Birmingham versus Stoke. We thought Birmingham would go through.
I went for a low scoring Birmingham 1-0.
And it wasn't, was it? It was a high scoring 4-all draw, and then Stoke won 4-2 on pens.
What? Did you see that Peter Crouch overhead kick?
Wonderful.
It was magnificent.
Wonderful.
It's just
such technique.
But seeing that is like looking at one of those M.T. Escher paintings where the angles don't make any sense and it's all a bit strange. It's brilliant when Crouch does that.
But I mean, he's excellent at that, though.
Yeah, he is.
It's surprising he can, because obviously the nature of that type of technique, you don't know massively in advance that the ball's coming over at that angle.
Yeah.
So it normally suits a small, nippier player. For him to unravel his body at that sort of pace.
Like a fruit winder.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Shorter limbs are quicker, generally. Course, yeah. And then obviously longer limbs are stronger.
Yeah. And sexier.
And, well, it depends who they're on.
Hmm. How do you explain Crouch?
Longer limbs, I would say.
Crouch does have small limbs, but he just has eight. And at each elbow, he's actually holding another limb. Yeah. And the same goes for his knees as well, which is how he manages to be so mobile and indeed have a good touch for a big man.
And
don't blame Jim,
that is just science.
Yeah, absolutely.
There were some fantastic goals in round four of the One Cup. And Asaidi, who put Stoke 1-0 up, that was one of them. Mm. It flicked the bar on its way in, which we always like to see. But Stoke, I mean,
Birmingham's concentration, though.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Hughes summed it up well when he said his team had made a dog's dinner of it.
Yeah.
Because Birmingham were down to 10 men.
At 3-1. They were 3-1 down and down to 10 men.
I know.
It was phenomenal. They'll be gutted to not go through. They really deserved it.
Yeah, and Altovic had a nice effort as well. But Peter Lovenkrantz, the ex-Newcastle...
signed on a free from Germany.
Right.
Peter Lovenkrantz.
Peter Lovenkrantz, I think, is an excellent player and has been for a little while.
He's great at that level.
Yeah, and two goals in the last 5 minutes to take it to extra time. Completely, as you say, 3-1 down to 10 men against a Premier League side.
It's frustrating for Mark Hughes because, I mean, they should have wrapped that up, should have done the business. They got a difficult game against Southampton, who were going great at the weekend.
Yeah, they could have done without the extra time.
Yeah, exactly. They were pretty businesslike for most of it, and then they just completely lost the plot.
And Mark Hughes, they were just kind of like a failing business, weren't they?
Mark Hughes would have scored that overhead kick.
Yeah, I reckon he would have done. And he loved it as well. Lee Clark's a bit of a curious character, isn't he?
Yeah.
I found he seemed to be really sort of really stressed out in the post-match interview.
Yeah, he was quite...
Well, it's not unsurprising, is it?
I've just gone out of the cup. Just gone out the bloody cup.
Yeah,
man.
I guess a
Herculean effort.
I wish I was back at Wells End Boys Club.
You don't have to put any accent on, because that is your accent.
No, it isn't.
Sort of.
No.
It'll sound the same to me.
Oh, that's a dig. Stoke squirm through to the next round.
Wow, like a big worm.
Like a big old worm.
Big old worm smacking a long ball.
With a Mark Hughes-shaped head. Burnley in the Claret and Blue derby. They lost to West Ham.
Yeah, we were wrong again.
Yeah. We will be right in a minute. So hang around for that. it was a tale of two penalties. Taylor and Collison. Nola brought down for the first match. Taylor scored.
The one on Collison was amazing.
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
It really was.
It was a shame, wasn't it, for Burnley? They were one of the Championship sides who I think a lot of people thought surely that they'll progress the way they're playing. Mm. West Ham, slightly out of sorts.
I think they've got a smaller squad than I thought when we did the preview show, and they had a couple of players out as well.
Yeah,
also said in the preview show that Allardyce would probably try and soak up the pressure because they're such an attacking force, and he did that. He even said in his post match interview that they nullified the threat of Burnley in the first half, and for him it was all about the second half performance and just getting the business done in a very horrible businessman like way.
I think West Ham have approached a lot of games like that this season, from what I've seen. Trying to keep it really tight in the first half.
Soaking up that pressure, yeah, like so much bread sauce into a nice roasty or something.
Yeah, lovely stuff. And then adjust their style slightly in the second half and look to turn the screw a little bit.
Mm.
But, I mean, two penalties tells its own story, doesn't it?
I mean, they don't score goals at the best of times. They don't have any strikers, really.
I found it weird. I mean, I suppose, did they think that because Collison won that penalty and he was about to pull the trigger, they gave him the penalty?
Because
Taylor took the first one, didn't he?
He did. Taylor's a very good penalty taker.
He is excellent, yeah.
And do you think it was a sending off?
Yeah. He's about 15 yards out and pulled the trigger on goal. He's the guy's completely taken him down.
Tracy's basically just gone, well, I've got it, or it's a goal. I'll just take the risk that the ref either doesn't see it or he misses the penalty, because it's definitely a goal.
Referees love that one. That's so easy. I'm having that. Thank you very much. No controversy there. That's okay. And a penalty.
Yeah, I thought it was a red card as well. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the football ramble last time. We said that Leicester would beat Fulham, didn't we, guys?
Yes, we did.
What happened in that game? Leicester beat Fulham.
Yeah.
So back in the room.
I think I may have said, as a player to watch, David the Difference Nugent.
Mm. Yeah.
And he came on and did a lovely job.
Yeah, why did he start on the bench
lovely
then?
Old
we
job.
Knew he was going to, you know,
secret
pull the strings impact.
Everyone's following this show, hashtag impact.
Why did he
bring out
score?
The nuclear weapons?
Because he likes to, nice. He likes to spread the love, share the wealth. It's a team game, Marcus, yeah?
Yeah.
It's like you do well to remember.
He wants to let other people have a chance, mate. Yeah. So.
The fool. Leicester, 4-3. What a game. Roddy Egger put Fulham ahead.
He had a good game, Roddy Egger.
He did have a good game, yeah. Fulham bringing their Premier League form into the Capital One Cup. Senderos failed to make a simple clearance. And
he'll do that.
Yeah,
I love the way I say it. Fulham bringing their Premier League form into the Capital One Cup. In another way, don't know what they're doing. Is what you're doing. They have no idea what is happening.
Oh, we're playing this game again, are we? Football?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Fulham looked very dodgy at the back. But Roddy Egger pulled one back because it was 3-1 to Leicester, and Carragunas levelled it with a beautiful free kick.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely
yeah.
Hammered. If you're going to put it keeper side, you've got to stuff it in that top corner.
Also, he did a very sensible thing, which is a lot of commentators and a lot of pundits will say when you have a free kick in that's that close. Mm. It's difficult to put any sort of technique on it to get it up and down. Mm. So just smash it.
Yeah.
Take your chance that it goes through the wall or just above the wall, and you've got a much better chance of scoring.
Well, if you hit it keeper side, you don't know. You bypass
exactly.
I think this result and also the Manchester United Norwich match, I think it's put a lot of pressure on two different managers in the Premier League. You've got Yol there, who it's another example of him not really knowing what he's doing at the moment, and Chris Hughton as well. Not a great result for him.
Martin Yol, he was a good manager.
I know. It's weird, isn't it? He looked genuinely baffled in the post-match interview. He said something like, it was a shame that the only main thing went against us was that we didn't get the winning goal. That's quite a big thing, isn't it?
You equalised with 3 minutes to go after being 3-1 down.
It's not. I don't particularly think it's that strange, purely because they've bought really badly. They've got a really imbalanced team. And they don't defend from the front. They don't defend from the front, so it puts so much pressure on the defensive midfield. Mm. We talked about this a few weeks ago. You have to, at the top level, if that's the Premier League or the Capital One Cup, whatever, you're playing against a good team. You've got to defend as a unit. You can't just say, well, our forward players won't do anything, because that's why they can see so many late goals. I think they concede the most late goals of any top-flight team, because their defence and midfield are under so much mental pressure over and over again that they just come unstuck. Look at Hangeland. Hangeland's a great player, but he gets put under so much mental pressure. Mm. And then when you've got someone like Senderos, who isn't technically the best anyway, and isn't maybe the most accomplished of defenders, it just falls to pieces. Mm. And so, for me, it's so blindingly obvious. I don't know why Martin Yol's not doing anything about it.
But that side doesn't have a nucleus, really, as well.
Well, you've got Parker and Sidwell in there.
Yeah, but I think that if you look at that Fulham side, you know, what is their...
What's their aim?
What's their aim? What's their spine? What's their identity, if you know what I mean?
It almost looks to me like... they consider the fact that they get to be Premier League footballers a bonus.
Yeah. Like, they've been there for ages,
brilliant. Well, exactly. Yeah, they're so complacent, aren't they? I mean, it's an interesting point. What can Fulham realistically hope for? You know, they're very unlikely to get in Europe. They're unlikely to get relegated, or, you know, you would have said that at the start of this season. They're making a good impression of a team that could fight for it at the end.
But this is
now
a competition, and they could have had a good chance of going.
Absolutely.
Quite
far, so, yeah, I mean, if they're that inept at something that is their best chance of actually making their season worth something, then something's clearly, clearly wrong. I would be very surprised if Yol's here at the end of the season, or even by January.
I secretly wonder how much sway he's got over senior players at the club. I wonder whether he can get Berbatov and Ruiz and people like that to work hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That could be a problem as well.
Could be a problem.
But I mean, anyway, it's a great result for Leicester.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's superb.
And you used to live in Leicester.
I did, yes.
How would they have celebrated this one?
Probably with Robbie Savage involved somehow. And me walking past with a big side of pork.
Yeah, okay.
Well, they play Manchester City in the next round, don't they? Mm. So.
They do, yeah.
They're the last remaining championship representatives, aren't they?
Yeah, so the neutral will be firmly behind Leicester City.
Indeed.
I would imagine. Manchester United, oh, they're back. Norwich City 4-0. Yeah, that was a good impression of Scatman John. but they did. They beat Norwich City 4-0. Straightforward win.
Fabio looked surprised to score, didn't he?
He did. Very surprised. Yeah. Almost embarrassed.
A lot of surprised defenders scoring.
Hernandez scored a brace. Phil Jones. Nice to see Phil Jones. Yeah. Phil Jones' first goal since December 2011.
Nice one as well.
I always considered Phil Jones grabbing the odd goal here and there.
In a Cahill, John Terry sort of style.
Yeah.
It's a great finish as well. From now on, that should be known as a gurner in honour of Jones.
What did you think of the penalty decision? On Yana's
Oh, it was tough. I went for harsh and tough at the same time.
Tough.
Harsh.
Yeah. Huff. I went for huff.
It was a huff decision.
It was a moustache.
Yeah, it was an absolute...
I thought it was very harsh, and I think it's a very important part of the game because they're obviously going to be under huge pressure at Old Trafford, and for that to happen is a little bit unfortunate, really. Isn't it?
Hewton was furious, as you could imagine.
Oh, well, fair enough. He's under pressure, isn't he?
That isn't why they lost, though.
No, of course it isn't. They
lost Snodgrass and Redmond as well. It's not a great...
Rough night for Norwich, wasn't it?
Terrible night at the office.
Hernandez, absolutely brilliant. We spoke about him in the last show, though. Like, he's just lethal with his head, isn't he? I mean, he should take penalties with his head. He's just so good with it.
Close-range headers.
Yeah.
All over.
I mean, the goalkeeper saved his first attempt, and he just got another one. Yeah. He's so quick with it.
I mean, that is 6 games unbeaten, though. On the trot for Manchester United. I'm having that.
Wowzerinos.
I mean, what I thought was really encouraging for Manchester United fans was how the last two games came in, like, those last two goals, rather, came in the last 5 minutes or so. And, you know, they were really sort of positive and trying to just, you know, score as many as they can. And that's been one of the criticisms of United this season, that they've been too conservative. And it almost seems like Moyes has woken up to the players he's got in his squad and realised he can take a few more attacking risks and he doesn't have to be so conservative. And maybe, you know, this genuinely will be the start of them going into a sort of, you know, better run of form. Because 6 games unbeaten, that's something to celebrate.
Well, that's right, yeah. Zaha started. We talked about him at the start of the week. Suggesting he was going to start, I'm wondering what he would be like. So it was good to see him in there, getting a bit of game time at last. And cleverly, and Young and Januzaj. Phil Jones in midfield. Obviously, Ferdinand and Vidic were at the back. What do you think of Phil Jones in midfield? Do we like him in that role?
He's a versatile footballer, yeah, Marcus.
No, I don't hugely like him in there, no. I think he needs to start nailing down a position and playing it.
Very much so.
I think he's a bit of a jack-of-all-trades, master of none at the moment, personally, at the top level anyway.
Yeah. I think the age of the utility player is gone, personally.
Which basically sounded the death knell of my professional football career. Which is a shame for everyone involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I couldn't agree more.
I could have been gracing the Capital One Cup this round.
Disgracing.
Newcastle United, Pete.
Yeah.
They lost at home to Manchester City. They had chances.
They did okay.
Played well.
Again, like Luke was saying in the last match. Yeah. When Luke was saying that in the last match, I mean, that just smacks of a player who isn't playing as much as he could do because his form is so stinking.
2 years ago, who would that?
Yeah, he just scored a couple from that chance.
One of our few chances in the box over the last 3 matches, but I thought we played really well.
I thought actually they'll take heart from that performance.
Will they though? Because they're so willfully just weird. Like, one week we'll play really well, one week, you know, we'll just get out. behind handed to us. It was quite nice to see Schürrle and Cissé playing up there together, because Cissé can't play alone. He scored most of his goals when Demba Ba was with him. You know, he just seems so isolated at the moment. Cissé.
Well, I think part of the problem is that every time Johan Kabaya gets the ball, he just hammers it and tries to shoot from miles out.
But that's what they're all about. And I did quite like, you know, 5 minutes from the end, it was kind of looking that we may head into extra time. It was an attacking substitution. Ben Arfa came on. Dummett got injured, unfortunately. It was quite an interesting quote, actually, from Alan Pardew. He said, this is the sort of club we've become. Pardew on Dummett injury. We don't think it is too bad, but it is a shame because we really love him.
Really, like a
big fan.
Really strange.
Of him.
I also got an email from a listener, a man by the name of Rob Nicholson. I think in the last ramble, possibly not a Capital One one, but it says, Schürrle Amiobi has never missed a penalty for Newcastle United. How very dare you do the great man such a disservice? Lots of love, Rob.
Fair enough.
Is that Rob Lee?
Yes. Rob Amiobi.
Robbie, it'd be Robbie.
We had a lot of tweets and Facebooks about Michael Richards going off with cramp and doing some weird dance.
Did you see Maraud at one point? He took out three or four players and just screwed it so wide. I was like, even I wanted him to score that goal.
I thought he almost
brilliant.
Ended Cheick Tiote's career with his head.
Oh my goodness.
Almost broke Tiote's leg. But apparently, I didn't see it myself, and it sounds like you guys missed it as well, unfortunately. But he went off with what looked like cramp and was apparently like so affected by it, he was almost like body popping off the pitch. So let's look at that for time for next time.
Like Mika Richards. I wish he could find a club that will allow him to play football.
He keeps saying he doesn't want to leave, doesn't he? He's been linked with other clubs, but he keeps saying he wants to stay. So
I think he keeps getting the sniff of the first team, doesn't he? And it's probably enough to keep him
loves
there.
It. Is he
not a Man City fan as well?
Yeah, I think he's
he's grown up there, isn't he? I mean, it's understandable. It's not like he's not getting any game time, so it's maybe he's just accepted being part of a squad, which at a big club like that you have to really.
He was a starter there a few years ago, and I suppose if you know what it's like to start games for that football club, in the stadium with the supporters, and then it's kind of taken away from you for the most part, you think, oh, I'm going to get that back.
Wasn't it Mancini who, I'm pretty sure it was Mancini who started to drop him, and when he was asked about it, said the problem with Michael Richards was, I mean, not in so many words, but what he was essentially saying was that he started to believe his own hype. I think he said something like, when Michael turns up to the stadium, seeing that big 100-foot poster of himself on the side of the stadium isn't the best thing for him.
That's not his fault, though, is it?
Yeah. Well, take it down.
He was the one to put it up, Pete. Yeah. It's his fault.
I'm not taking that down. It'll take ages. I'll just drop it.
I prefer to
drop it.
Put the Steve Lomas one back up.
Because a King Clancy one up there.
Yeah, that's it. I thought also that he said that Richards didn't follow instruction that well.
I think that might also be the case, yeah.
Which is, I don't know, probably more realistic.
We don't take training at Man City, let's make that very clear.
Pete, you were saying in the last show about Yoann Gouffran and how rubbish he is, basically.
He played all right, but he did basically say, he had a terrible match at the weekend, and I think the weekend before that, but he was piping up saying, I want to win the Capital One Cup.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not going to happen.
But no, especially not with his understanding of the offside rule, which appears to be non-existent.
5 yards
To be more offside than Papi Cissé takes something, it really
is. And then to have the gall to sort of think about complaining about it. Yeah. He looked around like he was a bit confused. What, me?
That's not the rule, is it? What?
I love it if he went really arrogant over to the linesman. No, unless I've grossly misread the situation. No, you have. You
I'm trying to
say
the offside decision only applies to English players.
Excellent.
Pantelimon was man of the match.
Yeah, after I slated him last week.
Putting more pressure.
Is it though? Yeah. I mean, Hart's going to start. Come on.
You'd think so.
But it was funny seeing Hart. They kept cutting to Hart on the bench. He did look a bit annoyed, which is sort of quite funny.
Yeah, you can't be annoyed that your team's not conceding.
Because what can be funnier about England's first choice keeper being in a terrible run of form before a tournament? Yeah. That's why I thought.
Oh, no, there's plenty of time for him to get that back.
It's time for him to sink further into the abyss. Fast forward 9 months or whatever it is, Roy Hodgson will be frantically ringing around. Does anyone know a keeper?
J-Mo.
Yeah.
Phil Jones. Phil, go on.
Phil Jones.
You're everywhere. Yelke,
yeah, actually. Yeah. I'd love to see that. I would love to see Phil Jagielka be the penalty hero in an England knockout tournament game. Could you imagine it?
I think there's more chance of Niall Quinn.
Yeah.
He was, of course, a good goalkeeper as well. Hmm. Now, back to proceedings. Spurs 2, Hulls 2. I was so excited. I was so excited to talk about Sigurdsson's goal.
Goal of the night.
Beautiful.
What, I mean, that's a contender for goal of the season.
Still rising. Absolutely. Still rising.
The way he took the ball away from the defender.
That's the best bit about it. Yeah. Did you see the finish?
Was Bergkamp-esque, Jim. And what a finish it was.
Or did you turn off the telly? Right, I've seen enough.
Yeah.
Goal of the season. Even if it doesn't go in, goal of the season.
You naughty boy. Yeah. Bergkamp-esque turn. Ibrahimovic-esque finish.
Is it fair to say Curtis David isn't shy about celebrating an own goal?
He muffed it up so
I'm
hard.
I'm not being funny, Curtis, bad. But you have had a shocker there.
Yeah.
And you've got away with it. Get back for the kickoff.
Oh, my goodness. It was. Yeah, he cleared it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He cleared that away and remembered as the ball hit Friedel on the way in. Oh, that's
I got last touch on that one.
That's not all, yeah. I'll have.
It was a great game. Harry Kane was so unlucky when he hit the bar.
He was
furious with himself as well.
He got one, though.
Yeah, he did.
He got a nice one.
Mm. Held off two players.
Very important.
Lovely.
Is it Gedo? Gedo?
Gedo, yeah. Gedo, yeah.
On loan, I think, from Ali from Egypt. He missed a good chance, which would have made it 3-1.
Yeah, and that seconds later was when Harry Kane scored.
Yeah.
It's a real shame for Hull.
Oh, dear. I mean, Hull, though, have made a good account of themselves.
They hold their own.
Like it.
It's awful.
We didn't. I didn't see the game because obviously I don't think it was on television, was it? But as soon as I saw that Spurs had scored, I thought, well, Hull aren't going to get back into that now then. Because the way they set up in the league game at the weekend, I thought there's no chance. But they did really well.
Paul McShane with a header.
Yeah. He was, again, another sort of very intense celebration.
Yeah. Was Carl Walker lucky to stay on the field?
Yeah, I think, you see that given. I think he should have gone for that.
Yeah,
it's 2 feet
high. Both feet off the ground.
Yeah, just, you know, I know he didn't actually break anyone's ankle or anything, but that isn't the point and it isn't the rule, is it?
So you can still go to jail for like attempted murder.
Indeed.
Do you know what I mean?
I need to leave. Yeah. Just need to go left the oven on.
So the penalty shootout was great, wasn't it? Smashed penalties. Like really, really hard penalties, which is a risk, surely.
I think it's worth saying that Hull had their third choice keeper in goal.
Mm.
So Harper and Greg McGregor.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping me.
Alan McGregor.
Yeah, they went there. But Hull, they missed first. And then Lamella missed for Spurs.
Oh, it's a shame to see him miss because he's having a real trouble setting, you can tell.
I know. But El Mohammedi, he's had no luck at White Hart Lane, has he?
He did that really annoying dance when they got promoted, though, so I didn't mind too much when he was
Yeah, I still remember that.
Because
that's what you get.
The reason I didn't like that is because everyone else was celebrating together and he was just playing in front of the camera on his own. It was a bit like, come on, mate.
We don't like that. We do not like that.
Very smart of Andre Villas-Boas to criticise the fans after the whole game at the weekend, and they really got behind Spurs. They listened, they took it in and they made the atmosphere.
Yeah, I think fair play to the Spurs
fans. Very well managed.
Yeah, I mean, they could have easily turned on him there.
Yeah.
But they didn't. So AVB obviously has some kind of magic wand over them down there. And as we said, the last game, Sunderland vs Southampton, will be next Wednesday on the 6th of November. But round 5, we can look forward to. Mm. Leicester City will be playing Manchester City. It's crucial that Leicester at home, otherwise you wouldn't give them much of a chance. But you never
know. Well, you know, you've been wrong before, mate.
I think Manchester City are going to win. They are, Leicester. You'll be okay now.
Well, they have got the Nuge coming to town, so...
They'll have to start him this time.
Be careful.
Well, exactly. They didn't start him and they just got there.
Don't keep your arrows in their quiver forever.
They were probably saving him, weren't they?
That's what you got to say.
Probably,
what,
like...
Yeah, right. I think so.
So, you know, City don't get a proper look at him.
Stoke City versus Manchester United, Peter.
Hmm.
Tricky.
For who exactly?
Well, for both. it was an interesting game at Old Trafford the other week. So who would you fancy, Pete? Mark Hughes again? He'd love that, wouldn't he? Obviously he'd love it.
His team
winning a game and progressing in the cup.
I think Manchester United have got enough in their tank.
We'll be covering this on the preview show next time.
Yeah.
So we can't go too much detail. Well, we've got to have a little think about it. You know,
anything could change.
To be had between now and then, isn't there?
I just wanted to dangle the carrot.
Just in love with the game.
Dangle the carrot.
Passion for the game.
Spurs versus West Ham. Little derby affair there. And then Sunderland also Southampton versus Chelsea.
Just giving us a little taste of the biscuit, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
A taste of the biscuit.
Don't worry about that.
We did go to public school. goal.
No, he did not.
Oh, yeah. He did not. None of us did.
Yeah. Well, and if we did, that would be okay.
Wasn't clever enough. Parents couldn't afford it. Apart from that,
across the board,
shot,
I'm sure.
Every chance for going.
Wasn't clever enough. Parents wasn't clever enough, so I haven't made enough money to send me
there. Yeah. Oh, parents wasn't clever enough.
Indeed. Damn them.
It's closed.
Round five of the Capital One Cup will be played the week commencing the 16th of December.
Lovely pre-Christmas treat for us all.
Do we have any correspondence, Luke?
A few bits and pieces.
Okay.
I asked people what their sort of highlights of the round of games were. What have I got here? David Heffernan on Facebook says, seeing the most hapless striking partnership in world football, Carlton Cole and Maiga, not score against Burnley. Oh, sorry.
But they didn't need to.
Highlight. Well, exactly. You get the result.
You defend from the front, young man. Look at what happened to Fulham. Didn't happen to West Ham. Give them credit.
Indeed. Lots of shouts for the Nugent. Lots of shouts for hashtag the difference.
Difference.
Lots of people.
It's like an X Factor band.
A worrying amount of people just replying with two words, Nicholas Bentner.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't mention him in the Arsenal Chelsea game. And I think that was.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah.
In a way, that's the most you can say.
Summed his performance up, really.
Yeah. We've got a few here. Oh, yeah. Sam Howard says his highlight was Papi Cisse relentlessly demonstrating he has entirely forgotten what football as a concept even is. Which is that a bit harsh? I mean,
he's better than he was at the start of the season. To be fair,
you said this week that Johan Gufran was not even anonymous. Was Cisse in that sort of ballpark?
No, he was around, but he's just ploughing a lone forward. It's hard to sort of play that kind of role, especially when you're not that big. You're not very good in the air. He's the kind of Andy Cole kind of character. He's not a Les Ferdinand. He's not an Alan Shearer. He never will be.
He's not an Andy Cole.
He's not an Andy Cole.
Bob Dunn says, I enjoyed Mathieu Debuchy going off under the stand at St James's Park to get the ball back / get a pie.
I enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, I think he thought it was half time and there wouldn't be anything hot enough to be waited. So that's a good point. And I think we'll finish off with this one, if I can just find it. La 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 la.
Why are there not enough pies for the whole team?
Who knows? Who knows? Why are they eating pies? Do you really get?
Mike Ashley is the answer to both.
This guy doesn't leave his name, unfortunately, but I'll read it out anyway. So this week I flew out to Seoul to meet my baby daughter for the first time. I realise this has nothing to do with football, but I'm ridiculously happy and I'm telling everyone.
Yeah, good on you.
Yeah, that is the
nameless
highlight.
Dad.
I don't know what is. Next time, leave your name.
Maybe that's why he's not left the name. He's like, yeah, I'm just dad now.
Unless you've made it up, and that's why you've not left your name.
But it's not Sven, was it?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
That's it. That's it from the world of the listenership.
Nobody touches my non-existent babies.
Yeah, indeed.
Thank you. Well, that is our review show of round four of the Capital One Cup. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, of course, with a regular ramble. And we will be back the week commencing on the 16th of December for the next round of the Capital One Cup.
Yay!
So thanks for listening to the Football Ramble in association with Capital One, the credit card that supports the supporters. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Luke.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, gang.
And it's goodbye from me.
Woo!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.